In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. Amen. Beloved in the Lord, let us draw near with a true heart and confess our sins unto God our Father, beseeching him in the name of our Lord Jesus Christ to grant us forgiveness. Our help is in the name of the Lord, who made heaven and earth. I said, I will confess my transgressions unto the Lord, and you forgave the iniquity of my sin. O Almighty God, merciful Father, I, a poor, miserable sinner, confess unto you all my sins and iniquities, with which I have ever offended you, and justly deserved your temporal and eternal punishment. But I am heartily sorry for them, and sincerely repent of them, and I pray you of your boundless mercy, and for the sake of the holy, innocent, bitter sufferings and death of your beloved Son, Jesus Christ, to be gracious and merciful to me, a poor, sinful being. Upon this, your confession, I, by virtue of my office as a called and ordained servant of the Word, announce the grace of God unto all of you. And in the stead and by the command of my Lord Jesus Christ, I forgive you all your sins, in the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. Amen. My eyes are ever toward the Lord, for he will pluck my feet out of the net. One thing have I asked of the Lord, that will I seek after, that I may dwell in the house of the Lord all the days of my life, to gaze upon the beauty of the Lord, and to inquire in his temple. For he will hide me in his shelter in the day of trouble. He will conceal me under the cover of his tent. He will lift me high up on a rock. And now my head shall be lifted up above my enemies all around me, and I will offer his tent sacrifices with shouts of joy. I will sing and make melody to the Lord. Glory be to the Father, and to the Son, and to the Holy Spirit, as it was in the beginning, is now, and will be forever. Amen. My eyes are ever toward the Lord, for he will pluck my feet out of the net. The Lord be with you, and with thy spirit. Let us pray. Almighty God, our heavenly Father, your mercies are new every morning, and though we deserve only punishment, you receive us as your children, and provide for all our needs of body and soul. Grant that we may heartily acknowledge your merciful goodness, give thanks for all your benefits, and serve you in willing obedience. Through Jesus Christ, your Son, our Lord, who lives and reigns with you and the Holy Spirit, one God, now and forever. Amen. The Old Testament reading for the fourth Sunday in Lent comes from Isaiah chapter 42. For a long time I have held my peace. I have kept still and restrained myself. Now I will cry out like a woman in labor. I will gasp and pant. I will lay waste mountains and hills and dry up all their vegetation. I will turn the rivers into islands and dry up the pools. And I will lead the blind in a way that they do not know, and paths that they have not known, I will guide them. I will turn the darkness before them into light, the rough places into level ground. These are the things I do, and I do not forsake them. They are turned back and utterly put to shame, who trust in carved idols, who say to metal images, "You are our gods." Hear, you deaf, and look, you blind, that you may see. Who is blind but my servant, or deaf as my messenger whom I send? Who is blind as my dedicated one, or blind as the servant of the Lord? He sees many things, but does not observe them. His ears are open, but he does not hear. The Lord was pleased for his righteousness' sake, to magnify his law and make it glorious. This is the word of the Lord. Thanks be to God. At this time, we reflect on the small catechism. The 10th commandment. You shall not covet your neighbor's wife, or his manservant or maidservant, his ox or donkey, or anything that belongs to your neighbor. What does this mean? We should fear and love God so that we do not entice or force away our neighbor's wife, workers, or animals, or turn them against him, but urge them to stay and do their duty. What does God say about all these commandments? He says, I, the Lord your God, am a jealous God, punishing the children for the sin of the fathers, to the third and fourth generation of those who hate me, but showing love to 1,000 generations of those who love me and keep my commandments. What does this mean? God threatens to punish all who break these commandments. Therefore, we should fear his wrath and not do anything against them. But he promises grace and every blessing to all who keep these commandments. Therefore, we should also love and trust in him and gladly do what he commands. The epistle text comes from Ephesians chapter 5. For at one time you were darkness, but now you are light in the Lord. Walk as children of light. For the fruit of light is found in all that is good and right and true. And try to discern what is pleasing to the Lord. Take no part in the unfruitful works of darkness, but instead expose them. For it is shameful even to speak of the things that they do in secret. But when anything is exposed by the light, it becomes visible. For anything that becomes visible is light. Therefore it says, Awake, O sleeper, and arise from the dead, and Christ will shine on you. This is the word of the Lord. Thanks be to God. The Holy Gospel according to St. John, the 9th chapter. Glory be to thee, O Lord. As Jesus passed by, he saw a man blind from birth, and his disciples asked him, Rabbi, who sinned, this man or his parents, that he was born blind? Jesus answered, It was not that this man sinned, or his parents, but that the works of God might be displayed in him. We must work the works of him who sent me while it is day. Night is coming when no one can work. As long as I am in the world, I am the light of the world. Having said these things, he spat on the ground and made mud with the saliva. Then he anointed the man's eyes with the mud and said to him, Go wash in the pool of Siloam, which means sent. So he went and washed, and came back seeing. The neighbors and those who had seen him before as a beggar were saying, Is this not the man who used to sit and beg? Some said, It is he. Others said, No, but he is like him. He kept saying, I am the man. So they said to him, Then how were your eyes opened? He answered, The man called Jesus made mud and anointed my eyes and said to me, Go to Siloam and wash. So I went and washed and received my sight. They said to him, Where is he? He said, I do not know. They brought to the Pharisees the man who had formerly been blind. Now, it was a Sabbath day when Jesus made the mud and opened his eyes. So the Pharisees asked him how he had received his sight. And he said to them, He put mud on my eyes, and I washed, and I see. Some of the Pharisees said, This man is not from God, for he does not keep the Sabbath. But others said, How can a man who is a sinner do such signs? And there was a division among them. So they said again to the blind man, What do you say about him, since he has opened your eyes? He said, He is a prophet. The Jews did not believe that he had been blind and had received his sight, until they called the parents of the man who had received his sight and asked them, Is this your son, who you say was born blind? How then does he now see? His parents answered, We know that this is our son, and that he was born blind, but how he now sees, we do not know. Nor do we know who opened his eyes. Ask him. He is of age. He will speak for himself. His parents said these things because they feared the Jews, for the Jews had already agreed that if anyone should confess Jesus to be Christ, he was to be put out of the synagogue. Therefore his parents said, He is of age. Ask him. So for the second time they called the man who had been blind and said to him, Give glory to God. We know that this man is a sinner. He answered, Whether he is a sinner, I do not know. One thing I do know, that though I was blind, now I see. They said to him, What did he do to you? How did he open your eyes? He answered them, I have told you already, and you would not listen. Why do you want to hear it again? Do you also want to become his disciples? And they reviled him, saying, You are his disciple, but we are disciples of Moses. We know that God has spoken to Moses, but as for this man, we do not know where he comes from. The man answered, Why, this is an amazing thing. You do not know where he comes from, and yet he opened my eyes? We know that God does not listen to sinners. But if anyone is a worshipper of God and does his will, God listens to him. Never since the world began has it been heard that anyone opened the eyes of a man born blind. If this man were not from God, he could do nothing. They answered him, You were born in utter sin, and would you teach us? And they cast him out. Jesus heard that they had cast him out, and having found him, he said, Do you believe in the Son of Man? He answered, And who is he, sir, that I may believe in him? Jesus said to him, You have seen him, and it is he who is speaking to you. He said, Lord, I believe. And he worshipped him. Jesus said, For judgment I came into this world, that those who do not see may see, and those who see may become blind. Some of the Pharisees near him heard these things and said to him, Are we also blind? Jesus said to them, If you were blind, you would have no guilt. But now that you say we see, your guilt remains. This is the gospel of the Lord. Praise be to thee, O Christ. This time we confess our God-given faith using the words of the Apostles' Creed. I believe in God the Father Almighty, maker of heaven and earth, and in Jesus Christ, his only Son, our Lord, who was conceived by the Holy Spirit, born of the Virgin Mary, suffered under Pontius Pilate, was crucified, died, and was buried. He descended into hell. The third day he rose again from the dead. He ascended into heaven and sits at the right hand of God the Father Almighty. From thence he will come to judge the living and the dead. I believe in the Holy Spirit, the holy Christian Church, the communion of saints, the forgiveness of sins, the resurrection of the body, and the life everlasting. Amen. Grace, mercy, and peace be unto you from God our Father, and from our crucified and risen Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. Amen. I'll never forget when I went to the eye doctor to get my first pair of glasses. It was like going from standard definition into high definition. It just didn't dawn on me how blurry my vision really was until I actually received the solution that would correct it. Ever since then, I don't know what I would do without my glasses. The world would certainly be a much more difficult place to navigate and enjoy without them. Well, in our text for today, Jesus' disciples are seeing things from the wrong perspective. Or they're seeing things in kind of this blurry, sort of skewed way. They're missing the point of what God wanted them to see. And the only correction for that is Christ. And so Jesus sets the record straight. He restores their sight by restoring the sight of a blind man. We need the same gift today from our Lord. So think about what you have to deal with in this world. Obviously, we all know our present situation, but even from a physical standpoint, before this whole coronavirus thing happened, you know, we can see people who do suffer with physical blindness. There are those who have cataracts, and as we age, our vision continually deteriorates. Our eyes don't always work the way they should. And the physical realities of sin are all around us. We can see the physical problems that we have to deal with, and sometimes they weigh very heavy upon us. And even when our eyes are working in some capacity, we have the tendency to look at the things we shouldn't. You might fill your eyes with an endless stream of corruption coming out of modern television, or maybe your eyes are filled with all the latest celebrity gossip that's released out of the tabloids, or maybe your eyes are filled with the pornography that is all too readily available on the internet. Our eyes absorb the junk. And then, on the other hand, they're so blind to the things that God is actually doing in the world. You know, as we come to church, our eyes struggle to see Christ's very body and blood in the bread and wine. They cannot perceive the Holy Spirit in the waters of baptism. And when suffering occurs in the world, our eyes tell us that maybe God doesn't care. When there's suffering in the world, maybe we think that God is just a bully who torments us. But what our eyes don't see is that sometimes it is through suffering that God shows his love. Sometimes our suffering is just a chastening of us as God's people. That way he might bring us back to faith and trust in him. This is certainly what Jesus testifies to in the gospel text about the blind man. He says, "It was not that this man sinned or his parents, but that the works of God might be displayed in him." In many ways, that brings us to the current predicament in our world. We look at the news and the reports that come in about this coronavirus, and our eyes tell us that the world must be coming to an end. We wonder if God's wrath is being poured out on our country for our idolatry. Maybe you yourself have wondered. Is God punishing us? Well, we do have wandering eyes, don't we? You know, so often there are people in our country, at least our country as a whole, and they would rather watch sports on Sunday morning than being in God's house. Or they'd rather watch their eyelids on Sunday morning and get a few extra hours of sleep than actually gathering around God's word. God himself says, "For a long time I have held my peace. I have kept still and restrained myself. Now I will cry out like a woman in labor. I will gasp and pant." My friends, God is serious about sin. Can we say that God is punishing us? Well, I don't think that any of us knows that for sure. In the Old Testament, he certainly did allow trouble to befall his people, as a means of punishment, sure, but also as a means to remind them that they need to rely 100% on God. And so maybe this is God punishing us. Or maybe we're dealing with this because sin exists in the world. Because sometimes things happen just because sin is a reality for us. Only God knows for sure. But we do know that God is serious about sin. And so regardless of why this has come upon us, this is our opportunity to repent, to turn to him in the midst of our present hardship. And so we should take this time to turn back to God with a sincere faith, recognizing that maybe we've been blind, that we've seen God's deeds in creation, and we've seen what he has done throughout the whole testimony of the scriptures, but yet we haven't really paid attention to it as we should. Our ears have maybe heard God's word, but have we followed it the way that we should? I have a question. How many of you have spent more time in prayer during this past week? Or who has read more of God's word this week than in the weeks previous? It means that God is using evil for good. It means that God is doing exactly what he has always promised to do. He is gathering his people to himself. He is bringing them back out of their sin to trust in his mercy. In no way does God rejoice over the coronavirus. In no way is he glad that people are dying. In fact, death was never a thing that God wanted for the world. Disease was never a thing that God wanted for the world. And none of us are rejoicing. But God can use this evil for good. And he will use it to gather his people to himself. And if we look at this text, notice what God compares himself to. A woman in labor. Of course, it's through difficulty and hardship that new life emerges. It's through screaming and pain and panting and gasping, and yet there's a blessing in the end. We see the same occur as Jesus enters the world through a woman, through the Virgin Mary, through her labor, and then we see the same as Jesus dies for the world. See, Jesus labors for you and for me on the cross. And what that cross shows us, what we can see through what Jesus does on the cross, is that God will never forsake us. That even though occasionally we might have to feel the punishment for our sin, or occasionally we might have to endure the fact that sin exists in the world, that God will never forsake us. Jesus himself cried out, my God, why have you forsaken me?" He endured God's wrath, and he was forsaken by God as maximum sinner so that you would be forgiven and so that you would never be forsaken. It was certainly a painful ordeal as Jesus gasped and panted for breath as he was hanging from the tree, as he bled and died for your sin and for mine. And yet he did it so that new life might emerge. Your life. And not just your earthly life, where we have to endure all of this suffering, but your eternal life that can be found only in what he has done for you. My friends, our eyes don't always see the way that they should. But as we observe our Savior dying, the death that we deserve, we can see who God truly is. He is compassionate, and he is merciful, and he is loving to us, even in the midst of our own calamity now. He says that he will lead the blind in a way that they do not know, and paths that they have not known, he will guide them. He will turn the darkness before them into light, and the rough places into level ground. These are the things that he does, and he does not forsake you. That's a spectacular promise in the midst of what we have to endure today. That God will guide us through. He will lead us with the light of his word, and he will lead us with the light of the world, Jesus. The rough times will level out, God promises. The darkness will become light. And even though you may not see it now, you will not be forsaken. That is the promise you have in Jesus' death, and that is the victory you have in Jesus' resurrection. So this day and always, let us keep our eyes firmly fixed on our Savior. In Jesus' name, amen. Now may the peace of God, which far surpasses all understanding, keep your hearts and your minds in Christ Jesus our Lord. Amen. Blessed Lord, you gave sight to the blind, you opened the ears of the deaf, and you make the lame to walk. Hear the prayers of your people on behalf of all people as they have need. In the darkness of sin and its death, we cry to you, O Lord. Open our ears by your word, our minds by your spirit, and our hearts by your grace, that we may know and be thankful for all the blessings you have given to us in Christ our Lord, especially the gifts of forgiveness, life, and salvation. Strengthen us in faith, that we may serve you with all our body, mind, soul, and strength. Lord, in your mercy, hear our prayer. Bidden by your word, we pray to you, O Lord, on behalf of your church and all your people scattered and isolated. Give to us good pastors and servants of your word, who will serve us faithfully and boldly, even in chaotic times. Keep them safe, comfort them and their families, and raise up many more servants for full-time church work. Lord, in your mercy, hear our prayer. Defended by your grace, we ask you, O Lord, to provide us with good and faithful leaders who will preserve the precious gift of liberty and protect the lives of our citizens. Give them special wisdom and help them to work in harmony in the midst of this pandemic. Bless the members of our armed forces and protect them as they defend us. Grant your blessing to all emergency and medical workers who continue to come to our aid in times of great need. Lord, in your mercy, hear our prayer. Enjoying the riches of your grace, we ask you, O Lord, to give us generous hearts, that we may share what you have provided with those in need and work for the common good of all. Give us patience in our seclusion and comfort the lonely. Grant relief to the unemployed, the underemployed, the homeless, and all their families. Lord, in your mercy, hear our prayer. Knowing your healing will and gifts, we pray you, O Lord, to spare us from all calamity by pestilence, scarcity, and fear. Remember the sick in their afflictions. Calm those troubled in mind, and keep steadfast the dying. Show us your gracious will, O Lord, and sustain those who are afflicted in body or mind, until that day when you will bestow upon us new bodies, fit for the eternal life you have prepared for us in Christ. Lord, in your mercy, hear our prayer. Mindful of your promise, we ask you, O Lord, to comfort those who grieve and to build up those who mourn with hope for the resurrection, remembering the faithful who have died in Christ. We pray you to bring us at last to be with them in your nearer presence, looking forward to that day when we shall join in the marriage supper of the Lamb and his kingdom without end. Lord, in your mercy, hear our prayer. All these things, O Lord, we pray in the name of our Lord Jesus Christ, asking you to grant our prayers not for our sake, but for the sake of him alone. Teach our hearts to be content with your will, and to trust that you will answer us with what is best for us, and at the right time for our need. So do we pray, giving testimony of our confidence in your gracious favor in Christ, by answering with one voice, Amen. Lord, remember us in your kingdom, and teach us to pray. Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done, on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our trespasses, as we forgive those who trespass against us. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom, and the power, and the glory, forever and ever. Amen. O God, from whom come all holy desires, all good counsels, and all just works, give to us, your servants, that peace which the world cannot give, that our hearts may be set to obey your commandments, and also that we, being defended from the fear of our enemies, may live in peace and quietness
through Jesus Christ, your Son, our Lord, who lives and reigns with you and the Holy Spirit, one God, now and forever. Amen. The Lord bless you and keep you. The Lord make his face shine upon you and be gracious unto you. The Lord lift up his countenance upon you and give you his peace. Amen.